Good morning. I'm not sure this is accurate, but I think that I remember myself having said the first Sunday that I came here, said to myself, I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Today with the temperature outside, people probably aren't feeling quite that excited about being in worship, but any announcements for today? Then let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in singing, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruit of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
You, Michael. That's good, all right. Not me behind the altar.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Let us pray. Almighty God, you wonderfully created the dignity of human nature, and yet more wonderfully restored it. In your mercy, let us share the divine life of the one who came to share our humanity, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Have the reading of our lessons.
Good morning. The first reading from today comes from the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, and as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 148. Please read responsively with the bold print. Alleluia. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all the angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praises, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people, and praise for all faithful servants. The children of Israel are the Lord.
The second reading from today comes from the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir, through God. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 2.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated and invite the children to come forward. We got a story to tell today. A couple of weeks ago, there was a man in the temple, and an old man, and his name was Zechariah. Remember that? Remember his wife's name? Anybody? Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't have any children. And they felt really sad about that, right? And then one day when Zechariah was in the temple and he was by the altar praying, all of a sudden there came an angel. And the angel's name was Gabriel. And Gabriel said to Zechariah, your wife is going to have a little baby. And his name is going to be John. And Zechariah didn't believe the angel. So the angel said to Zechariah, you're not going to be able to talk until the baby was born. And then 6 months later, Gabriel went to a town called Nazareth. And there he found a young woman, and her name was Mary. And he told Mary she was going to have a baby boy. And what was she going to call him? What was that little baby's name going to be? John. Not John, that was the other guy. This one's going to be, starts with a J. Jesus, right? And so after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph were living at that, they were in Bethlehem then, right? In the stable. But now, a week later, they're living in a house. And they take Jesus to the temple because they're gonna take him and they're gonna say to God, thank you for this little baby. And when parents did that in those days, they would bring an animal with them to the temple as a way to say thank you to God. And if you were really rich, then you'd bring a lamb. Or if you were poor, you'd bring two little birds, two pigeons. And Mary and Joseph, the story that we read, you remember what they brought? They brought two pigeons, which meant they didn't have a lot of money, right? And so they brought that little baby to the temple, and there was a man in the temple whose name was Simeon. And Simeon, when he saw that little baby, he went over there and he picked the baby up in his hands, and he told everybody about this little baby, that he was going to be special. And so after he had done that, then he went and he blessed. He blessed Mary. He blessed Joseph. And then he blessed the little baby, right? And there was another woman there, and her name was Anna. And Anna was an old woman. And she, every day she came to the temple, like she came to church. And when she came there, she would pray. Think of anything that she might have prayed about. Every day she came to pray.
Her baby.
Probably babies. What else might she have prayed for? Think she prayed for the government? Maybe she prayed that everybody'd have enough food to eat. Anyway, she prayed every day. And she too told everybody about this little baby, Jesus. So, how many people know about Jesus at that time? Remember when Jesus was born that night? Who came to visit? The shepherds. So the shepherds. And then when they went out, they told everybody in Bethlehem. And now this week, when Jesus is a week old, they take him to Jerusalem. And what was that man's name? Remember? Simeon. And the woman Anna. And now they knew. And all the people that they know. And now, everybody that's here knows about Jesus, right? And people throughout the world know about this special little baby. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news that we have received. A baby is born, your Son, our Savior. From the bottom of our hearts, we give you thanks. Amen. Okay. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The theme that we will follow today is the theme of time. Time in the Bible is used in two different ways. One is called chronological time. You know, the word, Greek word chronos for time. The time that we know by minutes, hours, days, months, years. You know, how many hours is it until the year 2017 is gone and we enter a new year, 2018? And it's with that kind of time that we build a history. A history of our lives, a history of our family, going back generations, a history of our country, a history of our world, all using this chronological time. It gives us dates to hang something on. But then in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is writing about a different kind of time. And he says this time is called Kairos. This is God's time. This is when the fullness of time had come. God sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. And the question that we could ask of God is, why did you choose that time? What made that time the kairotic, the kairos moment for you? Why didn't God have Jesus born when David was king? Or Solomon? Why didn't he have Jesus to be born while the children of Israel were in exile in Babylon? Wouldn't that have given them a lot of hope at that time? But he didn't. For some reason, God chose this time for Jesus to be born in this place, in Bethlehem. And he did it under the law. Remember, why was it that Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem? Well, it was because of a law that Caesar Augustus, the emperor, had given. That all the world should take a census. Because he was going to tax the people. And he wanted to know how to distribute the tax among each province. And so everybody had to go back to their hometown. And so that's how it just happened that Joseph wound up in Bethlehem with Mary at a most ridiculous time. I don't know how far along in her pregnancy Mary was, but she and Joseph must have known that baby was coming any day now. And yet they undertook that journey all because it was under the law. Because the emperor said so. But when they get to Bethlehem, people were reminded that yes, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And Herod the king, his scribes, had found that out as they researched the scriptures. And that's how it was in that moment that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There are other, well, it could be one of the reasons that God chose that time to be the time was because Rome was in power. And we talk about the Pax Romana. It maybe wasn't, I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant peace for all the nations, but it was called the Roman peace. At that time, the world was basically at peace because of the Roman Empire and its stretch. And also because the roads were very good at that time. The Romans had built the roads. And there's a story of one man who he found out his brother was dying with gangrene. And in one day, he traveled 284 miles to get to be with his brother. All because of the roads that Rome had constructed. And he was able to reach his brother's bedside before he died. Can you imagine making a trip like that on horse in one day? Well, anyway. Maybe that's why God chose to have Jesus born in that time, so that the good news could travel throughout the world rather quickly. Or we think of another kairotic, kairos moment with Martin Luther and the Reformation. 100 years before Luther was born, there was a man, there was a man named John Huss. And John Huss also questioned things that were going on in the church at that time. But at that time, there was a time of relative peace, and the Holy Roman Emperor and the Pope were together, and they both decided this man named John Huss needs to be killed. And he was put to death. And supposedly that would get rid of the situation. 100 years later, something had changed. Two things. The printing press had been invented 10 years before Martin Luther was born. And the other was that the Turks were coming, and they were at the gates of Vienna. And so the Holy Roman Emperor didn't want any fighting among his nations or his countries that were under him. He wanted them all to be ready, that if he needed to form an army as quickly as possible, that he could count on everybody. And so when a decree went out that Martin Luther could be killed by anybody, a decree that came out from the Pope, and the prince that where Luther lived said, no, I'm going to protect Martin Luther. And Emperor Charles V said, well, this isn't quite the time for me to send an army in to get rid of Martin Luther. And so it was because of that that Luther's life was spared. And with the printing press, it said that Luther was up in the third floor of where he was living, and he'd be writing an essay. And down in the basement, there was a printing press. And whenever he'd get a page done, somebody would carry it down to the basement, and that guy down there would be setting up the type, and they'd be running off copies of it, ready to be sent all over Europe, anyway, at that time. And so again, the Reformation happened at that moment because God had brought all things together for it so that it could happen that quickly. Have there been any of those kind of moments in your life? You know, that God just brought certain things together, that you were touched in your soul. Paul in Galatians goes on to say, you know, that Jesus has come that we might be made a child, an heir, a child by adoption. Nobody's born a Christian, right? Nobody. And so nobody can say, I'm a better Christian than you are. Look at my roots. Look at my background. Because each one of us has been brought to the Christian faith through the Holy Spirit, through believing in Jesus, through coming in baptism and God making His promise to us. And it's because we have become His heir, His child by adoption, that our lives are changed, that our lives are made new, they're made different, and we begin to look at everybody, including our enemies, that we look at them differently. And it doesn't matter if our enemies are here or if our enemies are thousands of miles away. Jesus loves them as much as He does any one of us here. And that's why Jesus died for all of them, as much as He did for anybody that is right here. And that's the good news, right? That's the good news that will be shared from this congregation until, what, the world comes to an end, or I don't know. But that's our message. Continuing the thing of time, we're now at the end of the year, and chronologically this year will end in a few hours. How is 2017 gone for you? Have there been some events in your life that have really been special? Maybe some of the best things that have ever happened to you? Or in this year, have some things happened to you that have been taking you down into the valley? Have there been some of those moments when you have been drawn in faith to Jesus Christ, closer than you've ever been before? Have there been some of those moments in your life when you have found yourself drifting away, when your faith seems to be growing colder? Has Jesus changed? Has He moved away? Has He withdrawn His love for you? No. His love for you remains as constant as it has ever been. Time. Resolutions. I don't know how many of you make resolutions. I don't know if anybody made a resolution at the beginning of this year and has kept it through the whole year. We could have you raise hands, but I don't know how good we would do. I don't know how many of you are going to make resolutions for 2018 and expect to keep them for the whole year. The flesh, or the spirit, is willing, but the flesh sometimes is kind of weak with that kind of stuff. There's some resolutions in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, we read one that Joshua made. As they were about to enter the promised land, he said to the people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was a resolution that for him was a powerful one. And when European immigrants came over to this country, they brought with them, many of them brought with them, plaques written in the language of their home country. And they would have Bible verses on those plaques. I don't know if any of you have any hanging in your room or in your house today. And one of the popular ones was, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a powerful resolution. We think of another one that used to be used at weddings a lot, that was done by Ruth. Ruth was a woman from Moab, and there had been a family that had come from Bethlehem because there was a drought in Bethlehem. They came over to Moab to find food and water. And the mother was Naomi, and she brought her two sons with her. And they married girls from Moab. And both of Naomi's sons died, and her husband had died, and she was very depressed. And she decided she was going back home. And her daughters-in-law at first both said, "We're going to go with you." And Ruth said, no, you stay here, marry from your own tribe, your own people. And one of the daughters said, okay, I will, I'll stay. But Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. And the words that she used, you know, whither thou goest, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. She set aside the gods that she would have known in Moab to take on the God of the Israelite people, and she became one of the ancestors of Jesus. That used to be used a lot at weddings, you know, as the message that was given that day. A powerful resolution on the part of Ruth. There's one in the New Testament that didn't wind up to be so good. And that happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And that was spoken by Jesus' disciple, Peter. As Jesus said to the disciples, you know, tonight all of you are going to forsake me. And Peter says to him as boldly as you can, Jesus, even if everybody else forsakes you, I will remain faithful. And within a few hours, Peter had said three different times, he didn't even know who Jesus was. How could you accuse me of being his follower? I don't know him. Sometimes for us as well, the promises that we make to follow Jesus, we make as solidly as we can at that moment. We know Jesus is going to be faithful to his promise. But we don't know what's going to happen in our life. It could be that we have such tragedy in our life that we can't bring ourselves to believe in him any longer. Or it may be that things are going so well for us that we find ourselves distracted and involved in so many other things that there just isn't any space for Jesus anymore. Not any need for him in our lives, so we think. And so our Christian faith is always in hope in Jesus Christ. As you go into the new year, if you make any resolutions, beware, be watchful. Don't expect to keep them all perfectly, but hold on to the promise that Jesus has made to you. And a couple of other words. This will be my last Sunday here. And it has truly been a faith-building journey for me being with you. A couple of items that I've shared with you at various times since I've been here, but I just want to say them one more time. Our oldest granddaughter, who happens to be here today, when she was 3 years old, and we were down in Alton, Illinois, when she was 3 years old, she looked up at her mom. They were visiting. She looked up at her mom, and she said, "What's Grandpa doing up there pretending to be the pastor?" And those words have stuck with me. And have brought me to question again and again and again. Am I being fake at some point? Am I being a hypocrite at some point? Am I saying some words that I know the people will like to hear, rather being faithful to the text, rather than taking seriously what's said in the scripture reading? Are there some points in scripture some words that are in the text that I just pass over because I'd rather not deal with them, either for myself or on the part of the congregation, and so I just won't say anything. So I need to keep asking myself that. The other one was spoken various times by the president of a congregation, and whenever there'd be a large group of people around, he had to say this. Pastor, you get paid for being good. We have to be good for nothing. And that one was. It's true, right? We expect the pastors to set a certain standard. Part of it because they're the congregation's representative. We expect the pastor to be respected in the community. We expect him to live a different kind of life, him or her, because that person is the pastor, right? And yet, I have to keep asking myself, okay, if I'm not the pastor, is my life going to be that different? Are my attitudes going to be that different? I struggle as a pastor, I struggle with all the things that you struggle with. The attitudes that I have are the same ones that come to you, or the words that, well, maybe not all the words, but the words that you find yourself wanting to say, I fight off that same thing. And after I've said what I know I shouldn't have said, I've learned to know what forgiveness is all about. And that's why I'm here. Not because I'm getting paid, but because I know that this is the place where forgiveness is offered. And this is the place where we are fed and refed every Sunday. Why do we have to come every week? Because we know what's in here. And we know this is the place where we get refueled to go out into the world to see people differently. And to see people as the ones that God loves dearly. We love because God first loved us. Pastor Randy begins in a couple of weeks. Resolutions. What a beautiful resolution it would be if all the members of the congregation every day, like Anna did, would remember him and his family in your prayers. And the ministry that will be carried on here at Christ Lutheran Church through his leadership. To that end, we give God glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and join in singing our next hymn.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us give thanks to God with our offering. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Draw near to God as children and heirs of God's, of Christ's promise. We pray for all people of God, for our nation and our world, and for those in need, for the faith communities of this city and for faith communities throughout the world. Help us to see ourselves and our neighbors, especially those who differ from us, and draw us together in common service to those who are hungry, poor, and oppressed. Lord, in your mercy. For the well-being of the earth, as we begin another year entrusted with its care, give us lively imaginations to see ways to conserve its limited resources, harness its renewable energies, and conform ourselves to its natural goodness. Lord, in your mercy. For peace among nations, for peace in our homes, and for peace in our hearts. Urge us to cry out at injustice and inequality among your people until vindication comes and righteousness prevails. Lord, in your mercy. For those who wait in the shadow of death, for those who are ill, and for those who struggle to see the future, and for all who lack even their basic needs. Transform our love toward them with the vision of the eyes that have seen the salvation of God. Lord, in your mercy. For those who cannot see, for those who cannot hear, for those who have varied use of their limbs, and for those able to exercise all the senses, Help us to appreciate the fullness of God's gift of life in our varied abilities, and to celebrate the diversity that reveals a more complete image of the one who makes us all family. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for those who have gone before us in this year and now rest in you. We also ask your blessings on Maxine, Dave, Kathy, Lexan, Phyllis, Gordon, Carolyn, Lavera, Maxine, Ray, Chikandi, Sandy, Dale, Sean, Lavone, Libby, Sam, the family of Pastor Calvin Larson, our companion congregation in Malawi, and Pastor Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy. Into your outstretched arms, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, the light and life of the world. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is prepared. Amen. Thank you. Please rise.
We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord.
Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We join in singing, God be with you till we meet again.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Pastor Dave, you're a team, right? That you are.
Depends upon the hour.
Okay.
Hi, team.
Hi, team. I just want to take a few minutes just to do a little presentation on behalf of the congregation. A church community is constantly changing. Loved ones come to an end of their lives. New lives are born and baptized into faith. Individuals and families come and go throughout our life together. It is important for us to recognize and mark well these times of passage, these endings and beginnings. Today we bid farewell and Godspeed to Pastor Dave, who has served as our bridge pastor for the past 7 months, and to Nyla, who has served as our interim choir director for the past 4 months, whose time with us has now drawn to a close. We receive with thankfulness the ministry you have offered us in the time we have shared. Your presence among us will not be forgotten. We are grateful for the time you have been with us and trust that God goes with you as you begin your next journey. If you'll join us in prayer, please. O God of all creation, whose love for all is trustworthy and true, help each of us to trust the future which rests in your care. During our time together, we have experienced laughter and tears, hopes and disappointments. Guide us as we carry these cherished memories with us in new directions until that time when we are completely one with you and with one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So on behalf of the congregation, we have gifts for you. I'll give you a hug. And then step back.
And also on behalf of the congregation, we'd like to present each of you with a prayer shawl made with all the love and care and friendship and prayers in the world. So wrap up in those and feel that from all of us.
Thank you very much. Let us stand for the last hymn.